This is John Batchelor, CBS Eye on the World. After the President of the United States addressed the nation and the world with the State of the Union message, and I welcome my colleague Brett Ahrens of MarketWatch. He writes the Return on Investment column. We're waiting for the Republican response from the governor of Iowa, and in the meantime, we can address the international part of the president's speech. The speech was shaped for a domestic audience, as the State of the Union usually is. The State of the Union is strong, is a presidential ceremony, at least since the 1960s, if not before. However, the international part is critical, given the breaking news in Europe. Brett, a very good evening to you. The markets these last days are completely undecided as to the scale of the threat in Europe. The price of oil has gone through $100, and we have no confidence whatsoever that the oil price won't continue to climb. How do you measure how the markets have reacted not only to the price of oil, but to the sanctions on the Russian banks, now the pursuit of the oligarchs, and other unknown disruptions these last days?
Good evening, John. We've had another very turbulent day on the markets, particularly in Europe. And I noticed Biden mentioned in his speech this evening the release of oil from various petroleum reserves in the U.S. and internationally. But oil was up sharply today. I think the markets are starting to price in the likelihood that this is going to be a longer and nastier sort of conflict, economically and otherwise, than had been. I mean, there was sort of an immediate shock at the end of last week, and then there was a little bit of sort of relief over the weekend. I think maybe people thought either that the two sides might come to terms, or that even Russia might be deterred by Ukrainian resistance. But definitely today, markets are starting to sort of price in a lot more pain, economic pain, and so forth. One of the things holding back the concerns with sanctions have been the various economic ties or financial ties between Western Europe and Russia, including not just, you know, oligarch money, but also European banks that own Russian debt and so forth. But I think as the conflict is seen to escalate, I think people are I think the politicians are getting ready to sort of bite the bullet, and I think the markets are pricing that in.
And what they're pricing in is that energy is not reliable in Europe. The Russians command the natural gas that flows to the European industries. It's a puzzle to me. I saw an item today that Mario Draghi of Italy is talking about diversifying his energy resources. Well, he can't do it next week, and the war continues, and the Russians have the lever to cut off or reduce natural gas into Europe. Have you seen a workaround that makes sense? I understand we can send liquefied natural gas, but we'll do it for a price, and the prices keep rising, and the disorder in the homes keeps rising. Do you see a workaround?
In the short term, no. I'll tell you something that came up very interesting right at the end of last week. A strategist and economist I follow closely called Joachim Clement, who works for Liberum in London, but is actually German by background, he made the observation that actually Germany could essentially do without Russian oil and gas if they switched back on their nuclear power stations. But there is so much aversion to nuclear power in Germany. There's a sort of it's just a big thing. You can't have nuclear power, that they've basically made a decision. It would take, he was saying, 6 months or whatever. It could certainly be done by next winter, if they had the political will to do so. They probably don't, but it certainly can't be done now. This is what's very interesting. People talk about, well, they'll get the oil from somewhere else. It's, you know, it's a single market. It's a single market. There's no, you know, huge pile of oil or liquid natural gas sitting somewhere that no one's using that, you know, can be sent to Europe. You know, you can take, if you'd say, well, we're not going to get our, you know, our energy from Russia. We're going to get it from somewhere else. We're going to get it from Africa. Well, that's just energy that, say, China was getting from Africa, which China would then have to get from somewhere else. All of this is reflected in the markets. The oil price, it was very interesting. End of last week, just even after this crisis erupted, the oil futures market was still relatively calm. The oil price was the futures prices were $90, well below $100, stretching well out into the future. And I think we talked about it on the radio. It's now jumped well over $100. There's been a big jump. The market is telling you what you need to know.
A price of 117. I don't know if it's real or not. We're waiting, but Brett, what we're looking at is the pump. The pump is going to skyrocket. We have quotes of $6 or more in California. This is not driving season. All right. Putin's got the energy that he can turn on and off. The price of oil is going to reflect it. What about the other concerns? Let's go to Britain, for example. What we have here is a challenge to the British market. The Russian stocks collapsed today. The ruble's under a penny. This is not my measure as an amateur reader of economy. Is this Russian isn't something you can ring fence. It bleeds into everyone's economy in Europe. Is that accurate?
Well, the thing is, the Russian economy is much smaller than we may realize. Just as the Chinese economy is much bigger than most people realize, the Russian economy is actually is relatively small, and its financial impacts, you know, directly aren't that great. You know, the Russian stock market is not. I don't know what the market cap is, but it's trivial. The fact that it's collapsed. I mean, you know, the old joke is something. You know, a stock that's fallen 90% can still fall another 100%. So it still could fall a long way, but it's already down. I mean, it's been a disastrous stock market for a long time. So it's not like this is a huge the collapse in the Russian stock market or the collapse in the ruble is not necessarily enormous for Western Europe. There are banks that will be hit by any default on Russian sovereign debt, and Russia's exports of minerals, particularly energy, are critical. But I don't know if, you know, the Russian banks, Sberbank.
Yes.
Yes, and VTB. If they collapse, I don't know what the economic ramifications outside of Russia would be.
And then let's look at the larger story of what Germany is doing, committing itself to 100 billion euro to start with, and then 2 or 3% we can expect all of Europe, especially the NATO part, to increase their defense spending. That's going to go to the bottom line of some companies. Have you seen any evidence yet that there's buying of defense stocks suddenly because of the German decision?
Defense stocks have been through the roof in the last week. BAE Systems, the artist formerly known as British Aerospace, is up about 20% in the last week or so. The U.S. ones, Lockheed, all the rest, they're all up. The big moves in the defense stocks, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's just the beginning. If this is the start of a sustained new Cold War, if you like, there's going to be a lot more to go.
Now, I've concentrated entirely on the foreign affairs implicit in the president's speech tonight, and I'm going to ask you to come back after the Republicans address their response to comment on the domestic matter of the president's presentation, because it looked to me that he was repeating a deal of the Build Back Better bill that was disappointing to him in the end of last year. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Brett Ahrens of Market Watch, Return on Investment. We're waiting for the Republican response, and we're going to discuss the president's speech.